This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Thursday, everybody. That means me and Mike are here at the Treasure Chest Casino for weekend kickoff as we get ready for all the action and college and NFL. No LSU this weekend, but still plenty to talk about. Tulane playing tonight. Pelicans will be in action again tomorrow. We know Saints on the road, week 9 at the LA Rams. Mike, man, oh man, between the LSU Tigers, the New Orleans Saints, and the Pelicans, we have no shortage of things to talk about.
And also, too, man, everything going on. I heard it in John Summerall's voice Tuesday when we did our Tulane Tuesday segment. Man, focus. Focus, guys. because of the record Texas San Antonio has in the Alamo Dome. And I could hear it in his voice about how he's emphasized it. The crazy thing about that is Tulane opened a 3.5-point favorite. And you know, it's up. 6
yeah.
right now, which goes to show you either there's an injury that Vegas knows and you don't know about, or they think, you know, Coach Summerall's focus deal is there. But
that's a pretty significant jump.
That's a pretty big jump when it goes from 3.5 to 6. But just the way he handles that team is so impressive. And I knew – I wanted him to tell me the story about how he addressed his team and about this commuter world of everybody leaving, you know, people leaving, transfer portal, NIL, assistant coaches leaving, you know, people talking about him leaving. And he got different people to come in to talk to his team about focus. Focus, guys. And I think he didn't like the way it ended last year, because I think he maybe thought maybe there was a couple players that sort of were looking elsewhere before the season was over with. Mm. And he addressed that very quickly. Like he said, some fans don't get it, but I got it. It's almost like a parent saying, you know what, I'm not going to talk to my kids about certain things that might be sensitive. If you don't talk about it, something else is going to happen to them. You best talk to them. And, man, I love the way he sort of addressed that with his team. And he said, I have since, which makes me believe he maybe addressed them maybe Monday about that focus part.
Mike, joining us here right now, Director of Marketing at the Treasure Chest Casino, Rodney Miller. Rodney, how you been doing, man? What's going on?
Oh, how y'all been doing? Everything's
busy.
Been going on. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just sure like, you are, too.
Yeah, just like y'all with everything between LSU, the Saints, Pelicans, we're busy as well. It kind of I think it fits this time of year with Halloween tomorrow, you know, the crazies right. come out and all the different stuff. So,
Do you have anything like special for Halloween?
We have something special every day, you know.
What?
But man. No, you know,
that's why I live on the bayou and you're all here in Kenner. I don't get to see that every
day. Yeah, yeah. No, our special is just on the casino floor, and I think tomorrow, Halloween, you know, it's just going to be an atmosphere that's fun. You know, it's different.
Yeah, right.
Holidays are always interesting. You know, we have a variety of good slot machines that fit the theme. You know, Mo Mummy, you
gotcha.
Know, Frankenstein, and Spooky Link. So it's a different kind of trick-or-treat, and I think our treats are a little bit nicer, a little bit more rewarding. We're excited about that. It should be a good atmosphere. And, you know, every now and then we have some good cocktails that might fit the theme as well.
Don't you find, as we've gotten older, that Halloween has gotten more for the adults as much as the children? Now, that wasn't like that maybe when we were younger, but it is a part of a different world today.
For sure. I'll be dressing up tomorrow in a costume, so
okay.
I'm going to play the part and experience it. And I think that's it. It's become a lot more commercial for sure, and it's
yes.
good for all ages. And you know, we're definitely a place where those things can fit in nicely and excited. You know, so but yeah, no, it's all on the casino floor. That's where we're going to have the fun. You know, with the slot product, we have. You know, a lot of people don't realize when we got here and moved over here. You know, but it's all about slot machines, table games. We brought in close to 400 new slot machines when we came in. It's a lot of new games. So we're keeping up to date with that, still putting that out there. Every week we got a new machine, new game, keeping it fresh. That's what everybody comes here for, you know, to play the latest, the greatest. It's the experience, you know, it's kind of the back and forth.
The technology on some of these things are unbelievable.
It's crazy. Yeah, the visual aspect of them, it's like watching a movie just as much as playing a video game and all those things combined. I mean, it really is amazing. I sit there and I just look at them. I'm not even playing them. I'm just looking at the arts and stuff that go on, and it's an entertainment value. It's really fun, and, you know, there's a little payout that comes with that. So, you know, you watch a movie at home, you don't get that.
Yeah,
I have a friend of mine. I was talking to him about Treasure Chest here, and he had not been here since y'all moved.
Yeah.
And him and his wife came here, and he was like, Mike, first thing that jumps out, all the different variety of machines that they have.
For sure.
Slot machines, you know, his wife's more of a slot machine player. He's more of a blackjack guy. But, okay, so that's all great. But he was like, it's so damn clean in there.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, that sort of jumps out at you quickly. You go to some, and maybe not quite, but man, over here, everything is neat, clean, everything sure. across the board.
And that's what we focus on. We got a clean team. They are constantly walking the floor, making sure, you know, ashtrays are picked up, you know, the drinks in between the machines are done. And it's about making that experience on the slot machine the best, you know, and it's the service of that guest and making sure, you know, there's no trash that they got to work through. Because you see those things, you don't want to sit down. You don't want to have fun with it. It just doesn't create a good experience. So, I mean, we focus on that. We make sure we got a great facility, brand new. So we don't want to, you know, ruin that. We don't want to. We want to keep that freshness, keep that look, and it's all about everything around it. So we'll continue with that. We're not going to lose focus on that.
Rodney, I've been in some new houses, and some of it is messy. I can't say that here.
No,
it's everything clean here.
Yeah, yeah.
Steve?
You look at what's going on right now in sports world. You know, we've got football, basketball, hockey, baseball, obviously, with the World Series. How have things been here for the series between the Dodgers and the Blue Jays?
You know, we have a great facility that all sports are, you know, this is the best time of year. I mean, you got
everything,
basketball,
right.
baseball ending, you got football, college football, hockey. I mean, it's like everything. So all that. I mean, it's been a great series. I mean, you know, it really is kind of a good back and forth, a good balance, and, you know, there's a lot of opportunities. You can go one way or another. You know, you got to really know to play. But it's been fun, you know, and you just pepper in all the other activities around that. It's just, like I said, I just keep looking at here and seeing everything it has to offer here. And like I said, these last few weeks are exciting. And then we just get further and further with now college football, just getting into the thick of it. You
right.
know, we start kind of weeding out those teams. You know, the balance starts setting in. And I would like to say LSU was going to be in that talk.
Not anymore.
Plenty of other talk for LSU right now, though.
Yeah.
Well, they are headline news, put it to you that way. But, Rodney, not only the experience here, if you want to come do some gaming, but also to the food experience here. If you just want to get a snack or whatever, but if you want a great meal, man, right next door.
Steakhouse.
The steakhouse is awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah. That's a great, I think, still to be known throughout this community. A lot of people, I think, should come try it and see it. It's going to be, I guarantee you, one of your favorites. It's going to be on your favorite list when you come try it. With the holidays coming up, we have a lot of special menus for Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Eve, for you, your family to come enjoy, and then just every day with the steakhouse. You know, there's a great steaks. Seafood, different varieties. Chef is constantly looking at different specials and focusing on that. The bar menu, if you want a quick, just good atmosphere in a steakhouse, the bar menu is fantastic. Get a good drink at the bar. We got a TV there if you want to still watch it. Tonight is a perfect time. You can watch a game and get a good, you know, steak bar menu. So,
other thing, too, is this place don't close.
No. Nope.
It's open. And that's how, during COVID, I knew we were in trouble. When I started to see, man, they were starting to close some of the casinos in Las Vegas.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, this might not be good. Because, you know, one thing, this keeps a rolling 24-7.
Well, we do close during the week. We close
during the week
three,
a little bit.
But weekends, we're 24-7. But, I mean, we close for a few hours.
Yeah, you know? It's so, not long.
We like, that's when it comes to the clean. We close, we clean it up, we open right back up. So.
Rodney, appreciate you stopping by. Thanks so much, man, and always appreciate our time here. Your staff is awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Rodney. We appreciate it. Thank everything that you do here for us along with the staff. And it's a great place to be. And so many people, I tell on the bayou, they come over here. Now, they lie to you. They tell you you ain't got no money. But they all got money. You're not at the casino if you don't have no money. Come on. You're just hanging around at that point.
Yeah. But, no, we appreciate y'all coming over here. It's been great and every day.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Rob.
Thank you.
Make sure you stop by the Treasure Chest Casino, folks, here in Kenner. You can hang out with us on weekend kickoff at the Game Bar and Grill. We're here at 7 p.m., then hand it off to Thursday Night Football on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We're going to take a break, come back with more. When we get back, Saints color analyst Deuce McAllister will be on the line talking about the black and gold heading out to L.A. to take on the Rams right after this on WWL.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Weekend kickoff rolling on here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Me and Mike Dottiglia hanging out till 7 p.m. as we get ready for Thursday Night Football, Week 9 of action, kicking off between the Baltimore Ravens at the Miami Dolphins. Sunday, we've got Saints action. They're taking a road trip out to California, and our Saints color analyst, Deuce McAllister, will be heading out there tomorrow with the team. Deuce, how's it going, man? What's up with you, man?
Oh, everything is good, man. I don't even know if this is, I know it's normally Tulane Tuesday, but this may be Tulane week. That's what sports talk is going to go to. Everything else is not very pleasant.
Yeah, and Coach Sumrall could kind of feel it. I was telling this to Steve, I was asking him about UT San Antonio and all, and I could hear it in his voice. Man, UT San Antonio, they so good in the Alamo Dome, Mike, and they rarely lose a conference game there. Man, he was getting into the ears of his players good, and the way they've been playing, sometimes it's not great, but they find a way to win. And I've said this so many times about this Tulane team. They're a good to very good team. They got one superstar, Deuce. John Sumrall on the sidelines.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, it comes down to getting my team ready to play and being able to get them to focus and lock in and not necessarily reading the paper and listening to what all my friends are telling me, oh, how good you are, and, you guys are going to the playoffs. And, if you can't focus on the next opponent, and that's what Coach Sumrall is trying to get them ready and get them to understand, that if you don't focus on the next opponent, you're going to lose. You're going to get beat. I mean, because your focus is on, oh, well, we got to beat Memphis, and then once we beat Memphis, we get to go to the playoffs. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. I mean, just this game isn't played on paper, and so it's going to be a tough one. And you hope that he has his guys prepared and his guys can come out and they understand the moment and they can go out there and be successful. But I mean, he's in an interesting position himself, and he kind of knows that as well. And he wants to keep the focus on football.
Deuce, one of the things that's maddening when you watch this Saints team, and almost from week one until now, it's all these penalties and constant mistakes if it's dropped passes or a fumble. But these pre-snap penalties where, come on, figure out how to way to line up. Come on. And it's not the rookies making the mess-ups. A lot of times it's the veterans doing it. That's what, to me, drives me crazy and why I wouldn't coach. Okay, because you're going over this in practice over and over and over again, and you see the same mistakes happening week in, week out, especially on the offensive side, the football, where last week you played good enough on defense to win. But you got to score every once in a while, and it's the penalties and the mistakes just eat away at this football team on the offensive side.
I agree with you. I mean, and even on the defensive side, I mean, there's situations where you lined up in a neutral zone, and once you gave them a free five right there at the end of the quarter, they weren't even gonna snap the ball. They just want you to be undisciplined and jump off sides, and that's where, you hear me talk about detailing your work. That's detailing your work. That is making sure, hey, I'm gonna dot my I's, I'm gonna cross my T's. Well, that's what you're doing. I am locked in. I am focusing on doing my job, and by doing my job, if I can't do the little things right, if I can't line up, then I probably can't handle the big things. I probably can't handle three or four plays being given to me and understanding exactly where I need to be. I probably can't handle getting to the depth that I need to get to every time and being able to show the numbers, my numbers to the quarterback. And so that's the frustrating part, because at some point it's not just a talent issue, it's a focus issue. And that's the maddening part about it, because I know you can do it. I've seen you do it. But it's when you don't do it and you have the continuous mistakes, that's where it's just from Mike. You got a little hair up there. I don't have any. And even a little bit I do have, I'm ready to pull it out.
Yeah, it would drive me nuts to see it. Week in, week out, the same things over and over and over again. Deuce, the other thing, too, is who you playing this week. I've told this to Bobby. In my opinion, Matt Stafford, he's still the best pocket quarterback in the National Football League. Now, Goff's a good player, really, really good pocket guy. He got a little bit of movement, and Stafford at one time had some movement, but, you get up in age, you become a pops. in this league. But, man, can he sling it? And what he's done against this team the last three or four times he's played them, he's absolutely carved them up. So Bobby's telling me, I go to California to Irvine to watch, and he said, okay, Stafford's not even there. Okay, he's dealing with the back injury. So I see Jimmy G, I see Stetson Bennett, and he said, Mike, Davante Adams, he was like, Kool-Aid, man, what? You can't guard me. He said, Mike, he turned him around like a top. And he said, Puka Nacua, he comes in there, makes a couple catches. Next thing you know, he's on the sideline smoozing with the movie stars that were watching the practice. When you're going up against a team that you have not played well against, and I think it becomes a little bit of a mental thing, too, of what he's done in the past. But your comments on Matt Stafford, and he's dealt with the back injury, he's dealt with the arm injury. Man, can he still sling it out there? And if I had to play him in January, I'd kind of have the lump in the throat, because that guy can beat you.
Mike, I'm going to blitz him. He can know it's coming because I got to hit him. I got to hit him. I'm playing off coverage. You can get rid of it. I mean, I just can't let you have a 70-yarder or 80-yarder. I got to come up and tackle you, but I am going to blitz you. I am going to hit you. You are an older quarterback. You don't move as well in the pocket. You don't like movement. You're playing hurt, but you don't get hit. So, I mean, it's either let you carve me up and I sit back and play coverage, or you're going to see it coming. I am going to blitz you. I have to hit you. I have to make you feel uncomfortable. And even if I'm not hitting you, I'm hopefully getting there, or at least the ball maybe is a little bit off a target. At some point, something good happens for me, where it's a tip ball, it's an incomplete, somebody drops it, there's some type of miscommunication, I can punch one out. I can't sit there and just let you just continue to just to jab me. I'm not going to lose like that.
One of the things that Sean McVay does so good, he doesn't get a lot of credit for, is they run the football well. Now, they got these backs. They're not the biggest backs, Kyron Williams and Corum from Michigan. They're small backs. But I think similar maybe to what Josh Heupel has done at Tennessee and what Lane Kiffin has done at Ole Miss, they don't get a lot of credit for their innovations in running the football and using that. I don't say want to set up the pass, but they do a really good job scheme-wise to get those running backs out into the open field. And so it gives Stafford 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-1. Okay, you caught in a rocking chair that way. I don't think most people give McVay a lot of – they always talk about the passing game, but what they do running the football to me is impressive every time I watch them.
Well, they can be a couple of different things. They can be a duo team where it's a lot of inside zone, or they can be a team that runs a stretch and they get outside. They run the stretch zone and they can get outside. You know, last time we played them, it was basically, hey, they had struggled running the football. When we played them, it didn't look that way. And so they can give you a lot of different problems on how they attack you. And, you know, they're going to be a group that's physical up front. I don't care which offensive lineman they have. They kind of know who they are. They know what they want to do. And if you can't slow them down running the football, then, yes, Matt is going to eat you up. And that's where they're going to get, you know, some of the bootleg action. And they're going to use – guess what they also do? They use their receivers as blockers. I mean, and so they're going to use the receiver as an insert guy. And he's going to be one to see, hey, how tough are you? How physical are you? You know, whether you're talking about to the safety that's filling the lane or the corner. They're going to make you have to come up and tackle. And so, you know, it's intriguing to watch them. They do a great job with that scheme on playing to the strengths of what he has as far as the players. But, you know, for me, I I've got to play cleaner football. It doesn't have to be perfect, but I have to play cleaner. And then I just have to say, hey, how can we make this team uncomfortable? How can we make this team uncomfortable where we are in the game in the third and the fourth quarter, and it's not just, oh, it's a hurry up just because I'm down 2 scores or I'm down, you know, 3 scores, anything like that.
Deuce, I'll throw this one to college football at you. You watch all the Ole Miss games, and I get to watch most of them. But I thought what Ole Miss did last week to Oklahoma, that was maybe the best I've ever seen coach game by Lane Kiffin from both sides, offensively and defensively. They befuddled the Sooners. And, okay, you're playing in Norman, Oklahoma now. Okay, they got you in their backyard, and they seem to, man, not take the punch real well. I thought that was the, if not the best, it's certainly got to be at the tippy top of what Lane Kiffin has done in his time frame at Ole Miss. Your thoughts on the growth of Lane Kiffin as a head coach and seeing how he's adjusted to this new world of college football. His name is always going to be brought up, no matter who gets run off. I mean, that Kiffin name is way at the top, so to speak. Your thoughts on what you've seen and how he has changed this Ole Miss football team. But last week against Oklahoma, man, we sitting there, you know, Luke and I watching, and it was like, whoa. That really is impressive, the way they – the score doesn't indicate how much they dominated the Sooners in that game.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Lane, his name is always going to pop up of just because of his past. I mean, and it looked like in the past, hey, no job was good enough or no job was one that he didn't want to take. And so, you know, whether you talk about the Tennessee or the SC or even, you know, the Raiders opportunity, it was always it seemed like he was always looking for what's next. And so he is a competitive guy. He likes a challenge. And, you know, one of the things that I think that he's found in Oxford, and he's even talked about it himself, is just peace. And you're like, peace? What do you mean? Peace amongst himself. He's not chasing. He said it. He's found at least himself and some happiness amongst himself. Now, that doesn't mean that, hey, Oxford is the perfect place for him and there's not a job or an opportunity that he may not take. I'm not saying that, but at least he is at peace with himself and his feet are grounded right there in that moment. And I think that's one of the things that has kind of changed him. And I think what's interesting as well is probably losing his parents, but having that opportunity to have them in Oxford with him. And here's the other thing. His brother left the NFL to come to Oxford to coach with him. His brother, Chris, was with the Houston Texans. Chris is on the staff coaching now, right now. He's been there for a couple of years, but because he was there with you know, his dad in the last couple of years. But with Chris there, he's got his family. And now with his son moving there and, you know, his ex-wife or, you know, whatever they have, rekindle, I don't know, you know, that's their business. But he's got a family in Oxford. And I don't know if that has been the case since they were probably, what, high schoolish? And, you know, obviously then you weren't even, you didn't even have the family, you know, it's not, particularly not the kids, but look, he will have every opportunity at a lot of different places. But I know that, you know, when it comes to coaching and having some peace, he has that currently. But like I said, you know, if it's an opportunity, Lane's name is going to get thrown in it. And then as far as the coaching goes, I think that you have growth. And basically what I mean with that, there used to have been not a situation that he didn't feel like that I can get it or my team can get it. 4th and 1, Lane, take the 3. Nah, we're going to get it. 4th and 3, Lane, take the 3. Nah, we're going to get it. And you would always kind of sometimes put your defense in a negative situation. Now it's almost like, hey, I know this is what analytics says, but I'm going to go ahead and take the points. And, you know, I have a young defense that's still trying to find itself. Not going to put that stress on them. But, you know, I think that's the growth in him. And, you know, hey, you better ride the wave while you can up in Oxford, because, you know, I can tell you there's been some down years for a while, and you know, it feels pretty good to be up top, up high, to be able to ride that wave a little bit.
Deuce, we at Manning Passing Academy, and I'm there early this year, and this is just a couple weeks after I've had knee replacement surgery, so I'm hobbling around, and Nikki Collins comes. He's like, this guy wants to talk to you. And it's, man, it's some young kid, and he puts his hand out, and he said, I know you don't know who I am. I said, man, your face looks familiar. He said, my name's Knox. I was like, okay, Knox, how are you? He said, yeah. He said, you know my dad. Lane Kiffin, and he was at Manning camp, and we got to talk for a little while, and he was sort of a late guy to come in. But, man, I looked him in the face, and I was like, whoa, does Knox look a lot like Lane? I mean, you could see the familiarity with the two of them, but, man, he can sling it too now. Knox can throw the ball.
He can throw it pretty good, and, you know, he's got a little Kiffin in him as far as, you know, swagger to himself. And so he believes in – he's one of those quarterbacks that believes in his arms. You can tell from just being around him that he's advanced as far as around the game. He sees kind of stuff. He understands stuff as far as coverage. Normally what you don't get from a 10th grader, and that's, you know, that's what grade he's in. And so, you know, it'll be intriguing to see how it progresses for him. He's already said, though, hey, look, wherever my dad is, I'm not going there. He doesn't want to be coached by his dad. So it's intriguing. I don't think his dad is going to push too much as well. I think he wants him to have that experience and to hear a different voice, because I'm sure that he's heard his dad's voice as far as on the field, as far as football, enough where he wants to hear something different from a different guy.
Deuce, everyone's looking forward, obviously, Tyler Shuck's first start Sunday against the Rams. Tough matchup against a team that's, you know, number two in sacks in the NFL right now. I think they're third in scoring defense. So every test in the NFL is going to be difficult. We got great players everywhere. But what are your expectations, or at least what do you want to see out of Shuck in his debut as the Saints starter now?
Can you get in and out of huddle? You know, can I get my guys lined up? Am I having trouble being able to get the call, not only from the sideline, but to my guys? Are they in a tempo mode as far as, you know, just him going up to the line of scrimmage? I'm able to get guys lined up. This is what I want to see. This is what I want to attack. You know, there will be opportunities to throw the football down the field. And the other part of it is, how aggressive will you be as a quarterback? You know, will you push the ball down the field, not just for 25, 30-yard throws, but the intermediate? You know, you talk about the 10 to 15 yards stuff. That's going to be there. Those opportunities will be there. And the other part of it is you have to take care of the ball. I mean, it's going to be critical. They're going to give you a lot of different looks. You know, at times they don't have to blitz just because they do have the firepower off of the edge to be able to get after the quarterback. And so can you take care of the ball? Can I distribute it to my playmakers? But for me, and this is no different than if Rattler was starting, Saints got to run the football. I mean, the Saints have to run the football. I'm not saying that you got to go out there and run it for 200 yards or 150 yards, but you have got to run the football.
They might need your help at this point, Deuce.
they better give me some knees if that's what they're looking for.
Always appreciate it, man. Hope you and Mike and Jeff Nowak have a great trip out there, and hopefully it ends up in a victory. I know it's going to be a tough one, but, it's, you know, folks are down right now, but I think at least a little bit of energy is being reinvigorated with the rookie starting at quarterback.
Well, no doubt, and hey, we can't leave out the black cat. You know, the black cat, he'll be with us.
Oh,
and,
yes, indeed.
You know, you never know what Robert Carroll is going to spring up on anybody.
Awesome stuff, Deuce. Always
thank
appreciate
you,
your time.
All right, fellas, thank you.
All right.
That was Saints color analyst Deuce McAllister joining us there, breaking down things as we get ready for Saints Sunday in L.A. against the 5-2 Rams. We're at the Treasure Chest Casino doing our weekend kickoff every Thursday, folks. You can stop by and say, hey, we're here 4-7 leading into Thursday Night Football. Right now, taking that break, we'll be right back with more after this on WWL. Feeling lucky, folks, coming down to weekend kickoff at the Treasure Chest Casinos. Hang out with me and Mike D'Attelier till 7 p.m. this evening. Also, feeling lucky, you can win tickets to the Saints' next home game against the Atlanta Falcons. Score two premium tickets to the game, plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group. Talking open bar, premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet with celebrity chef Aaron May. And that's all overlooking Champion Square. Winning's easy. Go to WWL.com/contest. Enter one time every day for your chance to win Saints Falcons tickets from Saints Radio WWL. We'll be back with more of Weekend Kickoff right after this on WWL. Getting ready for our second hour of Weekend Kickoff coming up next here at the Treasure Chest Casino. We got plenty of Saints and LSU talk. Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com, will join us at 5:25. Then at 5:40, Wilson Alexander, who covers LSU for the Advocate and Times-Picayune, talking all thing Tigers and Boy, oh boy, there's plenty to talk about with the Bayou Bengals right now. We'll get into that with Wilson. Stay tuned here on WWL for the latest and greatest, folks. We'll be back with even more of Weekend Kickoff right here on WWL. Who dat?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Yes, indeed, folks. Weekend Kickoff rolling on here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Mike Dettillier, Steve Geller. We also got Luke Augusta hanging out, keeping us in line at the Treasure Chest.
Luke, man, we can't do this without Luke.
No doubt about it. Mike, I'm seeing the TVs on here. You got all the action going on with the games, and we were talking to Rodney earlier about, you know, this is the best time of year. So much action going on. But I keep looking, and I'm seeing Thursday Night Football, Baltimore Ravens, Miami Dolphins. Just wish it was a little bit of a sexier matchup this evening.
Well, depends on what you call sexy now. But again, you know, when you do these games and you kind of piece it together before the season started, you know, you thought this might be a pretty good matchup. But you didn't know about all the injuries that were going to happen to the Ravens. You wondered a little bit about the Dolphins on the defensive side of the football. And I still got my concerns about that, to be honest with you. Now, when they humming on offense, even without Tyreek Hill, man, they had it rolling last week against the Falcons. And, man, Tua was hot. And, you know, they get that running game going. They got three running backs they use a lot. That A-Chan guy I know a little bit about. Well, I saw him at A&M. Man, he can run. He's not the biggest cat in the world, but he can roll. And, you know, with Jaylen Waddle, and they got good tight ends on that team. Big question mark is, can the Dolphins slow down the Ravens' running game? Whatever it is with Lamar and with Derrick Henry,
right?
Can you slow them down at any bit? Because if you don't, you're going to get a fistful and a half of Derrick Henry all night long.
Yeah, I looked earlier, and the line for that game is Baltimore Ravens favored by 7.5 in Miami. That's a pretty big road favorite right there.
Has gradually sort of jumped more and more. Same thing like, you know, with Tulane and University of Texas San Antonio, you know, at 3.5. Now it's with 6 or 6.5.
Yep.
That line has gotten up too. But I think that may be, we may find out a little bit about an injury. Because when something like that happens, normally that's kind of what happens in this situation. But interesting game for the Green Wave. And like I said, I could tell in the tone of John Sumrall that he had got his team's attention very, very quickly. And, man, they got a couple of running backs, UTSA.
I was going to ask you about Robert Henry Jr. I've heard so much about him. I haven't seen any of the Roadrunners games.
He's a Mississippi guy. And he went to Jones Community College, JUCO. had he had his grades correct, I think he could have gotten into maybe a bigger school, but, you know, he was maybe a little short here and there. Man, you watch him, explosive, he's tough, he's got good eye vision, he's always got his head up, his eyes looking up the field. A lot of times you see backs today, they're looking at the ground, they're not looking up. Man, Henry's got his eyes up, head, and he kicks that in the second gear, you got issues. You got some big time issues when you're trying to get him down an open field. He's a very explosive football player, and on that fast track, it makes him look like he's even faster than what he really is, and he is fast. Problems have been with UTSA has been more on the defensive side of the football, not so much on offense, but more on defense.
I'm a little concerned when I saw the numbers with Henry's rushing ability about Tulane's defense being able to slow down their run game.
Well, my thing is, and I'm a big believer in this, I'm going to take out the best guy you got. You're going to beat me. You're going to beat me with somebody else.
Right.
But you're not going to beat me with him. I'm going to make sure he's not the guy that's going to beat me out on that football field. I would think you're going to see a lot of loaded fronts, 7-8-man fronts saying, come on, come on. You want to run it? Come on. I got you. And for Tulane, I think it's gap integrity. Don't try to get too aggressive with this. Try to make sure that you don't give Henry a gap that he can take off and he's downfield 10, 12 yards on a play that maybe would be 1 or 2 yards.
Yeah, it's a 6:30 kickoff and on the big station, ESPN1.
ESPN1, so I was joking with Coach Summerall, you're not riding in no parade. Not this week. Not this week.
Looking at some of the action around other college football games that stand out to you, Mike, I know you know there's no LSU this weekend. Is there an SEC matchup you're particularly looking forward to?
Vanderbilt, Texas.
Yeah, man.
When you look at it, man, Texas was jackpot lucky. And I'm talking about not no lottery lucky. I mean, they were blackjack lucky, so to speak, last week against Mississippi State, who had them. They had them at the end of that game and just sort of turned them loose. And they made a couple plays. You catch them in overtime. They ended up winning. Man, and it's been just a disappointment because this is sort of back-to-back games for State. But this is a different animal now with Vandy. And, man, one thing with him, he is so good at saying, you think you got me? I'm going to show you how good you got me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to make some plays.
That elusiveness is unbelievable.
Yeah, and he's sort of a combination Baker Mayfield, Taysom Hill.
Yes.
Kind of a squatted version of the two of them. Hey, I got to give a shout-out, though. My old junior high school, now they call it middle school now, okay? Lockport Middle School, 7-0 for the season. They win the district championship. They beat Raceland Middle School. It used to be junior high. They beat them 14-8. And so 7-0 for the season. And so that 7-0 Lockport team and that 5-2 Raceland team go to Central Lafourche.
Wow, okay.
So, hey, maybe some good times for the Trojans. But shout out to Mo Middle School and Junior High School, Lockport. 7-0 for the season, undefeated, and a big win over the Raceland Cubs a couple of nights
ago. What's Lockport's mascot?
Pirates.
The Pirates.
Black. Black Pirates, man. And boy, it was hot in them black helmets. That's all I can tell you. Woo-wee. You catch some of them days. It was sort of hot in there. But, again, congratulations to the Lockport Pirates and undefeated season district champs.
Impressive indeed. We're going to take a break when we get back. Some more Saints LSU talk. Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com, will join us. We're taking a break here on our Sports Talk Weekend Kickoff Edition. Be back with more on WWL after this. Welcome back into Weekend Kickoff here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Now hanging out with Jeff Duncan, who covers the everything sports for the columnist and Times-Picayune and NOLA.com. Jeff, how you been doing, man? I know it's been a crazy week so far.
That it has been, Steve, and I think it's going to continue to get crazy over the next few weeks. But it beats being bored, put it that way.
Jeff, that's the one thing about Louisiana sports and politics. It's never boring.
You're right.
You know, it always got the circle. I remember growing up hearing my grandparents talk about Huey Long and how he ran the state of Louisiana. And it was either a love or hate relationship, so to speak. Either you loved Huey or you didn't. And I remember reading a biography of Huey, and the one thing, he had a lot of confidence in himself, and he had just went from governor to being senator before he got assassinated. And his comment was, if my country didn't need me so damn much, I'd be the head coach at LSU. Now, you know, how many politicians would say that back then? Now, today, you would maybe have a little bit of a chuckle, but people making the thing with Jeff Landry, man, this has always been sort of intertwined with politics and especially LSU. I recall, you know, in my early years, John McKithen, there was no bigger LSU fan in the world. And Governor McKithen, after he left office, would talk about that he would go watch film in the LSU coaches, you know, film sessions. And a few years back, Jeff, you remember that Joe Oliva wanted to fire Les Miles, and the team knew about it, basically, and they put him on the shoulders, rode him off the field, and what it was, like a 45, one-hour wait for Les address the media because he had to talk to Oliva, and then Governor Bobby Jindal said, you're not firing him. He's coming back. And it was, yes, Governor, that's exactly what I'll do. Now, he fired him the next year, midway into the season, after a crazy game at Auburn. But it goes to show how in this state, it is unique. But, man, the governor is definitely involved in all these things that are happening at LSU.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head. It's something that's gone back decades. It's been very unique to the culture of our state, and I think it speaks to the power and the prestige of LSU football, the popularity of LSU football. The governors in this state understand that they can shine in the reflected glory of the program. And so there's a reason to attach yourself to one of the things that Louisiana does very well, and that is football. And so I think it makes a lot of sense to be so, you know, look, they're just a few miles apart, right? The governor's mansion and Tiger Stadium. So it does make a lot of sense. And I don't know if I've ever seen it put quite that way, but I'm sure Huey Long had the same type of grandstand as we saw from Jeff Landry the other day.
And even bigger. I wasn't alive for Huey, but man, from hearing stories, it was even a bigger influence than what Governor Jeff Landry has today. Your thoughts on how that will impact a coaching search? I was talking to Steve about this. My thing is, if you've got donors that are willing to give up a lot of money, and let's say it's $90 million or whatever, the governor's not going to get involved with that particular part. I think on the surface today, it's not a good look. But I do know enough agents to know one thing. This is all business. You can say what you want about me personally, but if I can cut a great deal for my client and I'll make money and he makes money, then it's a done deal. And there are just a few select agents that have the majority of the top coaches, you know, at the collegiate level. You're going to have to deal with them. Bottom line, your thoughts on long-term, because short-term, we could all say, man, this doesn't look good. But long-term, if donors come in and say, hey, don't worry about it, I got your back and I'll cut you that check, then it might not be as bad as a lot of people might think.
Yeah, I think a couple of things, Mike, and I think you make some good points. One is we're still talking about one of the arguably three, at worst, top five college football jobs in the country. There's no question. So that's always going to attract top candidates across the country. The coaches are wired. They're ambitious. They want to win at the highest level. And the fact is, you've had three different coaches win national titles at LSU in the past 20 years. So that job's prestige is well known in industry circles. But I do think, you know, the one thing the governor needs to be educated on a little bit, and I think he's been guilty of a little bit of encroachment in coming into this, is that's how the game works. I mean, to get Brian Kelly away from a program as prestigious as Notre Dame, Scott Woodward had to pay him a lot of money. He wasn't taking a rising assistant like Dan Lanning or Kirby Smart, who was an assistant. He was taking an established, highly successful head coach away from a program that is one of the most prestigious in the history of the sport. So, of course, they had to use a lot of money to get him. It's the same thing he did with Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. It's the same thing that he did with Kim Mulkey at Baylor and was heralded, widely celebrated. So it's a different aspect that Scott Woodward has been doing and largely was praised when he made the moves. So I think it's funny. It hasn't worked. I think we can admit the Brian Kelly situation did not work. But at the time, it was widely championed. So I think, you know, that's something that has to be understood. And I would also argue a little bit that it hasn't been a complete failure. Brian Kelly was 34-14. His worst season is probably going to be this year, winning maybe 9-8 games. And they're still getting 100,000 fans. They're making more money than they've ever made. So it's not a disaster by any means, look like the way it's being framed right now. He hasn't won and been in the national championship hunt, and that's why he has been fired, and that's the expectations at LSU, as we all know. So it's understandable, but I think the circumstances around it are being a little distorted right now. And frankly, I don't think it's quite fair.
I talked to Coach O yesterday, and he's coming on with us at 6:10. He's like, Mike, I was part of the culture. I didn't win. Guess what? I became unemployed real fast, and I won a national championship there. So it is all about winning and putting it at the highest level. Jeff, I'm going to swing it over to Saints now with Tyler Shuck. Expectations for the rookie quarterback going up against a very good football team with the Rams. Before the season, I really thought they were a Super Bowl contender, but I didn't know a lot about the fact that, man, they paper thin at a lot of different areas. But one thing they ain't paper with, man, that Matt Stafford, he has absolutely carved them up. Every time they've played him the last three or four times, they got a young, aggressive defense that gets after you, and they are a big play machine throwing the football, and they run the football too. Your expectations on what you expect to see from Tyler Shuck as he plays against a very good Rams football team?
Well, I think we all know, Mike, as a young quarterback, I mean, we saw it with Spencer Rattler. I think we're going to see it with Tyler Shuck. There's going to be growing pains. I mean, he's going to make mistakes. He's going to struggle. And I think the Saints are fully aware and expect that. I think the key is going to be, you know, does he show growth? Does he show incremental progress? Does he learn from mistakes? But this is a tough assignment right off the bat. I think people need to understand the offense around him, guys, is not talented enough for him to lean on as well. I mean, Spencer Rattler struggled with that. There's not an elite playmaker on this offense. A number one receiver is not there. There's no number one running back, no number one tight end, and that's why they struggle to score points in the red zone. The defenses know this. But I am excited to see how he develops. I think one thing I would say, guys, is this has been the plan all along. I think people were a little taken aback when Spencer Rattler got the job out of camp. I can tell you no one on Airline Drive was surprised by this. Tyler Shuck has been the guy all along. It was just a matter of when, not if, he was going to become the starting quarterback. And the timing is probably right after – the last couple of losses and the way that offense has kind of regressed and the mistakes, it makes a lot of sense to do it now. But make no mistake, Tyler Shuck is viewed as the future at the quarterback position unless this 9-game audition he shows he's not.
Jeff, the last question for you. Do you expect the Saints to be in the trade business? Because as we're getting closer now next week, for the trade deadline. I mean, there's always rumors, and there's always talk about trades. I remember in talking to Mickey Loomis about this, and he would bring up Mike around draft time. There's so much talk, and there is some talk, but he said there's rare action. that happens. I think over the last few years that's changed a little bit. It's been a little bit more aggressive on the trade stuff as it gets closer to the trade deadline than, say, like 5 years ago. I think it's been more aggressive over the last couple. Do you expect the Saints to be, want to call it maybe sellers in this market?
I think they will definitely listen to any and all offers that are out there. I think the key question, Mike, is what do they have that's marketable to another team? They have very few marketable or valuable assets. I would think both receivers, Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed, are two potential targets for other teams because they're young, they still are good players, and they're coming up on contract situations with the Saints where the Saints may know that they're not going to be a part of their future. So it would make sense for the Saints to try and get something in return for either one of them. But I think Chris Olave's value has really decreased because of his injury history and the way he's played since then. It's going to be difficult, I think, for someone to offer him a lot of money, you know, looking at his really uncertain future at the position. And then everyone else, I don't know if there's anybody else on the roster that's viable as a trade candidate. So yes, I think they would be interested, but it takes two to tango, and I'm not sure there's a buyer out there while the Saints are sellers.
One thing, everybody wants pass rushers. Call Grandison.
Yeah, I mean, he might be one. That's one that I didn't think about, but you might be right, because he's in his prime, and he could help right now. And his contract is manageable for another team. In other words, I don't think it's going to be someone like a Cam Jordan or DeMario Davis at the end of their careers. Alvin Kamara probably has very little value. It would have to be someone in their 20s that would be viewed as an asset for a team like the 49ers or somebody that's looking for a pass rusher.
Jeff, always appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jeff. We're going to keep you busy. You know, Tulane, LSU, Saints, we got you rolling for the next few months.
Yeah, the Green Wave got a big one tonight, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times, Picayune, NOLA.com, and author. Check out all his great work. We're going to take a break, come back with more of our weekend kickoff edition of Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino right after this. Stay tuned on WWL.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome back, folks, into weekend kickoff here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Hanging out, waiting for Thursday Night Football, 7 p.m. We've got the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Miami Dolphins. And man, oh man, there has been a lot of news in LSU land. And for that, we're going to go to our lines. And Wilson Alexander, who covers the Tigers for The Advocate and Times Picayune, joining us. Wilson, thanks so much for the time. How is it going?
Chaotic.
Yes. Wilson, I got to admit this. Man, I talked to your father-in-law today. And, man, we were talking. I told him, I said, Wilson's going to come on with us. He's like, y'all got a lot to talk about, Mike. I was like, oh, yes, we do, Hanky. We got a lot to talk about. Wilson, how much longer do you think Scott Woodward's there at LSU? Because we see it looks as though around November 4th, in that time frame, there'll be a new president at LSU. And I don't expect Scott Woodward to be there much longer than that.
It certainly appears that his days are numbered and that his job is in serious jeopardy, which would come as no surprise to anyone after Governor Jeff Landry's comments yesterday at the press conference. There had been a sentiment about that, though, even for a long time before what Governor Landry said on Wednesday. There was even, it seemed to me, this weekend, based on the things that I was hearing from people around the program and around LSU, that Scott might actually have been the one to lose his job before Brian Kelly did. Obviously, that's not how it played out. But with Scott not being able to do the most important job that he would have as the athletic director at an SEC school like LSU, a major program, which is, you know, hire the head football coach, it seems like it's just a matter of time. Exactly when, though, probably, you know, sometime after that president gets elected on Tuesday. Exactly how long, you know, remains to be seen.
Looking at the president's job there, I think a lot of people feel that Wade Roos had the insider track. Wade's president at McNeese State, Louisiana guy, grew up down the road from me in Golden Meadow. But the way the voting came in, actually the provost from Alabama, a gentleman, he got 20 votes of the committee, and Wade and the former president of Arizona got 14. Wilson, is that telling you a little bit of something, or do you think that Roos is the front runner at this stage because you know he's got the backing of the governor of the state of Louisiana?
Yeah, everything going into yesterday that I had heard was right on what you're saying, that Roos was the front runner for this position, and it really felt likely that he would be the next president, and perhaps that still ends up being the case, and Jeff Landry's backing in this can go a long way. But that was notable, that the provost was the one who received the most votes, and that a unanimous yesterday to move on. And that was a submission that kind of came in late, but that he it's going to be interesting to see how things play out over the next few days and into Tuesday. Because I would have said that Roos is the front runner. But, you know, there's nothing done until the final vote actually gets made.
Listen, always twists and turns in Louisiana politics. But that one caught me a little bit by surprise when I saw how the voting went yesterday. Your thoughts on Frank Wilson? You know, Frank's another guy with a lot of ties to the state of Louisiana. Played at Nicholls State University, has certainly ties in the high school ranks where he was a super successful high school coach. Coach O got him to be involved when he was at Ole Miss and then University of Tennessee, and then when Coach got the job here at LSU. Your thoughts on how Frank Wilson, a Louisiana guy through and through, and how he will handle being the interim head coach at LSU?
He made the most sense if there was to be a void that he would be the one to fill it on an interim basis because he cares so much about LSU football and because he has head coaching experience previously at UTSA and at McNeese. He's also even got the title of associate head coach for those sorts of semantics, whatever that's worth. Like, he has had a large role in this program for the past 4 years. And have been involved in a lot of major decisions. And so, especially as it relates to recruiting and the building of the roster. So it would make sense that he would be the one to become the coach. I mean, you can, you know, hear it in his comments that he had during his press conference on Tuesday, how, you know, how much this means to him and how much I think sort of he sort of spoke with passion and with a little bit of an edge that I think was probably kind of refreshing for fans to hear after listening to Brian Kelly for the past 4 years, that you have somebody who sounds like they want to fight over the next month. And that's what you really need. I think you need in an interim basis. We already saw him he's brought in some former players to speak to the team to try to connect all of them together and try to sort of motivate these guys to by hearing from some of the great players in the past. And so, you know, that's kind of what we've seen so far. I mean, gosh, to make an analogy to Pearl Harbor with the sirens and try to use that to motivate the guys on Tuesday. I mean, that's maybe taking things a little far. We're not really at war here. It's just football. But, you know, I think that just sort of shows how he is going about this, that he wants to fight over the last month of the season.
Wilson, I was talking to Coach O yesterday, and we're going to have him on at 6:10. And, you know, we're talking about, and I'll get your thoughts on this too, personality fits, where it never fit with Brian Kelly. But Coach O was, hey, Mike, I fit, but I didn't win enough. So guess what? I was unemployed. You know, you got to win. He said, I'm not talking about no 8 or 9 wins at LSU. They're expecting you to win at the highest level at LSU. And like you said, with the money that's out there and what's being put out for players and assistant coaches, they expecting you to win at the highest level. And Brian didn't do that either. Despite the fact Coach O won a national championship, you just look at it, a couple years later, you know, he's gone because that winning didn't continue, and yet he had to fit. Kelly didn't win a national championship and didn't have sort of the personality fit. It's all about wins. That's all it's about.
That is all it's about. And I heard somebody else say this. I can't take credit for this being an original thought of my own. Somebody else said this somewhere earlier this week, that really what the fit is at LSU that you need is that you're going to come in and you're going to work hard and you are going to, you know, show the fan base how much you care about this place. And I think as much as Ed, you know, had the, it's from Louisiana and the accent and all those things, and you know, it can relate so well to a large portion of the people here, he was a hard worker. And I think Kelly was too, but in a different way, and that didn't really show it. And, you know, there's obviously, you know, had a reputation for being maybe absent at times. But I think it just goes back to what you're saying, like Nick Saban fit at LSU, even though he wasn't from Louisiana, because of how much he poured himself into the job and everything that they did with that staff in those days to turn this program into what it became under him. And I think that's what you really need from the next head coach. It's not about cultural fit in a way of like being from Louisiana. It might help to have experience in the South to understand how to relate to people down here better. That was something that, as I understand, sometimes there was a disconnect between Kelly and recruits or players about those sorts of things. But really, somebody who is going to just like work hard and show that you love the state. Somebody told me once, you know, I'm not from Louisiana, and somebody told me once that if you accept Louisiana, it will accept you back. And that's what this next coach needs to do in terms of fit, is even if he's not from here, accept the state, show that you are interested and want it and love it. And I think if you win, then they'll love you back.
Wilson, you make anything of the fact that we saw at Penn State, once James Franklin got fired, they lost about 6 recruits in about 7 days. Man, it was, you know, everybody was jumping off, so to speak, at that stage. So far, LSU's recruiting class, which looked to be maybe Brian Kelly's best recruiting class in the state of Louisiana, has stayed intact so far. Do you make anything of that? Here we are, you know, 4 or 5 days afterwards, and there's been no attrition from that.
It's certainly significant. And I think that it is doable in a era in which there is, you know, a lot of financial considerations to be made. You have guys who are committing this class, not necessarily to Brian Kelly, but to LSU. And they are also agreeing to numbers before they, when they commit, that, you know, they can hold up it past the head coach. So certainly significant that LSU has not lost any recruits yet, but also a long way to go until that early signing period in December.
Wilson, thanks so much for joining us. I just want to tell you on a side note, my man, our thoughts and prayers are with you. Been a difficult year and a half, but man, you've been like a champ with it. And not only we really appreciate what you bring to us here on Sports Talk, but as a man, you've done a fantastic job, and I just wanted you to know that.
Thank you, Mike. That means a lot.
Wilson, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much, man.
Thanks for having me. Y'all have a great night.
Wilson Alexander covering LSU for the Advocate and Times Picayune joining us today. You can check out all his great work online. We're going to take a break here on our weekend kickoff edition of Sports Talk. Coming back with more right after this on WWL. Wrapping up this hour of weekend kickoff here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Coming up next hour, folks, stay tuned. Top of the hour, Ed Ogeron, a national champion LSU coach, will be joining us talking all things Tigers. Plus, where is he going to end up coaching again? We'll talk to Coach O coming up after the news break. Stay tuned right here on WWL. Weekend kickoff rolling on as we get ready for Thursday night football, 7 p.m. on WWL AM, FM.com, and the Odyssey app. Who dat, folks?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
TikTok, 6 o'clock hour of weekend kickoff here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Happy to welcome in now a man who's all about passion, energy, football. And when I hear him, just thinking Louisiana. Ed Ogeron, thank you so much for joining us. How's it going?
It's going great, guys. Sitting here in Miami Beach, fixing to watch the Tulane Green Wave whip UTSA, baby.
All right, Coach. I know Tyler, he wants that pretty big, too. Get the tight ends involved. I told Coach Summerall, hey, you got to do it. He was like, Mike, what kind of deal you got? I said, man, I sort of know who the tight ends coach is a little bit. I told him, you got to throw the football more than tight end. He's like, I get it. He said, I kind of lost a train of thought on that a little bit. But, Coach, listen. We cleared the roads for you, just like when they had the 10.5 inches of snow at the house in February. So you can tell us, where are you going to coach next year?
You know, Mike, it's up in there. I really have not got a call, a serious call from anybody. You know, people ask me if I will go back to LSU. Of course, you know, they've got a call and want me. You know, there's a lot of jobs open, but I haven't got anything that you can say, hey, you know what? These guys want me for sure. Yeah.
Coach, I know you've had a long-term sort of relationship because you won the staff at USC together and then at Tennessee and then back to USC with Lane Kiffin. Your thoughts on the coaching job, what Lane has done at Ole Miss? It's really been remarkable. And I was telling this to Deuce. I thought what they did last week against Oklahoma, that may have been his best overall coaching job I've ever seen Lane do on both sides of the football.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. For him to win those 10-win seasons at Ole Miss and doing the job that he's doing, and personally, I know him well. His personal life, man, he's doing fantastic. And, you know, Lane's an excellent coach. You know, one thing about Lane is that on the field – he sees all 22, and it's in slow motion to him. You know, I was a lineman. I look at the lineman. Lane can know what everybody's doing, and you see how patient he is. He figures out what people are playing him, how he's playing him. He goes for the mismatch, and he goes for the juggler. He's a great coach.
Coach, what happened last weekend? Listen, Bum Phillips used to have a line about it. There's coaches that are hired and coaches that are fired. And he said, there ain't nothing in between. He said, either you hired or you fired. It's one of the two. And you saw what this LSU football team was like. And I think somewhere along the way, Brian Kelly sort of lost maybe the edge here. But when you look back at it, you brought it up about, okay, you were a Louisiana guy through and through. But if you don't win, you freaking unemployed. I mean, that's just the way it is in college football today. Yeah. And I had a coach tell me this. He said, Mike, what happened to James Franklin should send a shiver down every head coach in college football today. That, you know what? You think you've saved, but you're not. This is about winning and big-time money. And if you don't win, you ain't staying too long.
That ain't no question. There ain't no question. And listen, you know, when you take the job, you know the stakes are high. You know, and listen, Coach Kelly, I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. But you can see the team unraveling, Mike. It just wasn't LSU football. And you can see there was cracks. And you know, you got to have it together, man. And it just looked like this, the foundation was not built. And he did not connect with the people. And I think the players at the end were not all together.
You got also a long-term friendship, relationship, Frank Wilson. So if people don't know Frank, because, you know, Frank was a high school coach. He went to Nichols State, high school coach, super successful. You sort of got him out of coaching retirement when you were at Ole Miss. You got him to go there, and then you guys went to Tennessee and certainly back at LSU, and then became a head coach at a couple of different places, UTSA and McNeese. So tell us the people that are listening that don't know a lot about Frank, a little bit about how he is. And I know one thing, he's Louisiana through and through.
Yeah. You know, Frank, first of all, he's a great man. You know, he coached my son, Cody. Frank and I are great friends. We've been together, but he is a tremendous, tremendous recruiter. I mean, maybe the best or one of the best recruiters that LSU has ever had. And he is also a great coach. But you know what? I listened to him talk. He's going to take – I saw all the players today at that practice. He's going to bring that team together. And as you know, Mike, you got to play together, man. What happened in that stadium, when I saw Texas A&M doing what they were doing after the game, it made me sick to my stomach. And I know it did for Frank and all the people that love LSU. So let's see what he's going to do. I think he's going to do a great job.
Coach, when you left, it was almost the start of all this transfer NIL sort of situation. And you and I have talked about this sort of off the air, but of what you told your sons, two of them at Miami of Florida and then Tyler's at Tulane, about, hey, if you don't kind of understand that this world's changing, you're going to be left behind. Your thoughts on how college football, in a real short period of time, has changed dramatically.
Yeah, you know, you got to jump on it. It's here. It's here to stay. Those that navigate through it and learn it the best will have success. Look at Vanderbilt. Look at that quarterback they got. Holy smoke. You know, look at the transfer portal, and look at the people that are paying the right players. You know, you can say you have a big roster and you paid all this money, or you're paying the right players. But that still comes down to evaluation. That still comes down to coaching. And it still comes down to recruiting. Those things are still valuable on top of paying the players. Hey, Mike, can you imagine talking to 100 kids in your room and 80% of them recruited by your enemy? I mean, that's the hard thing for me.
That's unreal. But I was talking to Mason Smith during the summer, and he was like, man, Coach O would call me all kind of times, day, night. he was like, you know, but in today's world, man, you started to think about it. We didn't grow up with no cell phone, nothing like that. And you were a heavily recruited guy, but they came see you, so to speak. They came to South Lafourche, or you maybe took a trip. You knew where you wanted to go play, and that was at LSU initially. But, man, today's a different world. And sort of tell everybody a little bit about the social media part of it, and also constant interaction with that recruit that you're trying to bring in.
You know, that's why you see the recruiting departments, Mike, have grown. It's almost like a pro personnel department. You got to be on it, man. You got to be texting. You got to be doing every social media stuff, whatever they do. I don't mess with it. I used to have guys give them my phone, and it's constant. If they don't hear from you two or three times a day, they think you don't want them. But also the personnel department, Mike, as you know, who's transferred, who's the next guy, where are they at? It's just like the free agency in the NFL.
Coach, I know you're close to the Miami program. You coached Mario Cristobal when he was at Miami.
Yeah.
You have your two sons there coaching. But, man, they got a defensive lineman there, Reuben Bain Jr. Kind of tell everybody, because the Saints might have a pick high enough that they go after Bain. So you've got to see him up close and personal quite a bit. A little bit about Reuben.
Number one, great character, outstanding character. And, you know, Mike, in the NFL – you got to have your stuff together, man. You got to be a pro. You got to have great character. And you got to be in tune to what's going on to be a great pro. But this guy here is explosive, man. And they got him playing it in. At first, I thought he should be playing defensive tackle. You know, but you know what, Mike? He is a left end in the NFL and maybe a three technique on pass rush. And he is a dominant football player.
Coach, this is a vivid memory for me, and everybody says, Coach O winning the national championship and that team. And you guys became the first billion-dollar team ever pieced together, which is unreal. But you know, when we grew up, man, if you had $1 million, man, you were unbelievably rich. Now, today, $1 million, what? Okay, you got a few dollars, but you ain't rich by any stretch. Now, $1 billion is a different story. But when I think about that season, Doug Mouton always tells me, Mike, I've never seen you more excited is when LSU beats Alabama in Alabama and that unbelievable game. When you think about, I think there ended up being 68 players that were on those rosters that went on to the NFL. And he was like, you were so excited. And I said, I got an even better story. Bobby's dad. Mr. Bob, the Tuesday we do TV show, and man, he came up, gave me a big hug. He said, man, I'm so excited, because he said, baby, finally they beat Alabama. But kind of tell everybody a little bit about that rivalry. And I sent you a deal one time, O.J. Howard, who was a great player at Alabama and was first-round pick of the Buccaneers. And he was like, what's the NFL like? He said it was like playing LSU every week. Man, that was one hell of a rivalry with you guys.
Well, you know, Mike, when you head coach at LSU and Nick Saban's over there winning all those championships, I didn't tell everybody, but I had to go to work every day to beat him. You know, great recruiting and did it. And we 8 years we hadn't beat Alabama. Now, Mike, every 7-Eleven I went to, Coach, you got to beat Alabama. Everywhere I passed, Coach, you got to beat Alabama. Well, when we got on the plane, Joe Brady looked at me and said, Coach, I got him. And, Mike, I look at Steve Ensmingham, I look at Coach Robinson, I felt like I was going my pandas and we're going to kick some ass. I just knew we were going to kick ass. And for us to explode like we did, especially in the first half, and to have them like we had them now, we'll let them come back. But what a great game plan we had. What a great job by our players. And I was just so happy for the state of Louisiana that we beat Alabama. After that game, I knew we had a chance for the national championship, but we had to beat them.
Coach, here's the crazy part. So the national championship game, man, they stick me and a couple other guys, and including Marlon Favorite, in a big group of guys. We surrounded by Clemson people. And, man, boy, they was hooting and hollering early on. So yeah. Favorite was, he's like, Mike, if we got a fight, the other guys that are around us, they ain't getting us out of here. It might be just you and I have to get us out. But by the end of the game, man, they were so great about, man, it's LSU unbelievable. They could not believe what they had witnessed out on that field with Jamar Chase and with Justin and with Joe and with Clyde and you know, and the defense. And you think about Patrick Queen. When he got brought in, he was a running back, and he ends up being this fantastic linebacker.
Exactly, and he did a great job. You know, the ATN boy was his friend, and he was on ATN like wide on rice all night, man. He had a great game. But, you know, Mike, as you remember, we shouldn't have took the penalty. They took a delay of game. We should have took it. It put them back 5 yards, and they punted, and they got us back. Backed up, we were like on the 2 or 3 yard line, and he was blitzing us, and I just remember the guy said, "Stay patient, let's get out in the field." And when we got in the field, we got one on one with Jamar Chase. It was all over the crime, big boy.
Hey, Coach, listen, I told you this before, and I mean it. College football is better with you in it, and I know next year somewhere you're going to be on those sidelines in college football raising hell with somebody, and I mean that. College football is better with you in it.
Thank you. It takes everybody, but, you know, I can bring that toughness and that enthusiasm and get these guys to play. So wherever I go, man, I'm going to be bringing it. Mike, remember now, I got 4 years of sitting on the beach, 4 years of jogging. I did all that stuff. Now I'm ready to go.
Listen, Bobby would be tonight, but, you know, he had to go watch Paul McCartney last night. So he needs a – how they call that in pro football? They give you a rest day, Steve?
Veterans Day of rest.
Right? They give him a personal day of rest. Yeah. So we had to let him rest today, Coach.
I bet that boy was entertaining last night.
When he was with T-Van and Andrea, so, you know, it was entertaining.
Yeah, no doubt. But look, guys, it's always good to be on the show and tell everybody in Louisiana I said hi. And I look forward to wherever I coach next year. It's going to be fun.
Love hearing from you, Coach Ogeron. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, Coach.
Take care, guys. All right, man. Bye-bye.
National champion Ed Ogeron joining us here on Weekend Call Kickoff. And like you said, Mike, I don't know. I hear the guy. I get excited. I get amped up. And he just screams Louisiana to me, man.
Man, we had Warren Sapp on with us.
Yeah.
This was during a Super Bowl appeal. And was asking him about Coach O. And he was like, man, let me tell you, the games were easy. What toughest thing? Getting through an Ed Ogeron practice. He said, man, he drive you into the dirt. He said, man, we were praying to play for Saturday because it was almost like a day off in comparison to the practices. And when we get him back on, we'll let him tell us some stories about a guy he helped recruit, and he coached at Miami of Florida, and he went on to a pretty good career. Dwayne Johnson, the Rock. And, boy, Coach O, he got some Rock stories. And The Rock came to one of the WrestleMania deals. He was telling the story about Coach O gave me the greatest life lesson I ever heard. He said, one day in practice, I was dragging, and he said he grabbed me and said, hey, Dwayne, either you play football or you go back wrestle like your daddy and your grandpa and your uncles.
Well, good advice from Coach O.
No, he said he really wanted me to play.
Yeah.
But he said that sort of motivated me a little bit and that sort of deal. But
and I know you said, too, before, like, wasn't The Rock, he stole a few quotes from Coach Ogeron.
No, The Rock stole everything from Coach O. No, Warren Sapp said, man, because, you know, they call him Dewey.
Yeah.
And he didn't say nothing at Miami of Florida. Nothing. And at first,
Coach O made the comment to me, somebody's doing the talking for him. Because he never spoke like this. Well, Sapp said a very similar deal. And he said, talk about, you know, stick that thing sideways and everything else. And do you smell? And he said, I saw Ogeron stuff. He said he stole all of it. He said, I don't know if Coach O's getting a residual from it or not. But he said he stole all of that from Coach O.
Awesome stuff. Wish Coach O the best. Who knows? We'll see him, if not at LSU, in Louisiana somewhere soon. Taking a break here on Weekend Kickoff. When we get back, you want some frightful stuff ahead of Halloween? Our Pick 6 segment. We'll check in on our standings and where we're going with this weekend right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. We are back here on Weekend Kickoff at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill, set adjacent to the FanDuel Sportsbook. Best place in town to grab a bite to eat, watch the game, enjoy quality craft beer or drinks. Wall-to-wall jumbo screens here with all the games going on, Major League sports across the country. The game and the Treasure Chest Casino provides a fun atmosphere, elevating typical sports bar experience with a well rounded menu. And speaking of the sports book, Charlie, we are in our Pick 6 segment. Lay it on us. How did we do last week?
Not great, but I won. I won this past week. I'm back, boys. 4-2 week for me. Mike, you went 2-4. Bobby and Steve both went 3-3. Just kind of recapping everything. Bobby got us all on Ole Miss and OU, which we'll talk about OU in a little bit here. We had a split with the Vanderbilt-Missouri game that was such a toss-up. I won that 50-50, and that's part of the reason why I ended up winning this past week. The three of us all picked Texas A&M correctly. Bobby lost that game with LSU. The three of us got the Buccaneers correct. Bobby lost it with the Saints. And then we had a split here, guys. Steve and Bobby both won the Broncos. Mike, you and I lost the Cowboys. And then Bobby and I won the Packers. Mike and Steve lost the Steelers. So rehashing the standings here, guys. Mike, you are still in the league despite, you know, the bad week. 30-25 overall. Bobby and Steve tied at 28-27 overall. And I'm pulling up the rear, but I am kind of coming back here, guys. I'm 28-25-30, so we'll see if I can keep up the good luck here.
If Bobby would stop picking the Saints, he would have trumped us all over the board.
Yes.
But I told him, Bob, stop that. Stop. And he was like, no, Mike, I can't.
Yeah,
so
right.
You don't even have to tell me with Saints Rams.
Well, we'll get to that in a little bit, guys. But we're going to start with college football week 10. I mean, that is hard to believe, guys. But it's not a great week. I remember I saw a post that was talking about this week back in, I think, August, and how loaded this slate was. And then you see what happened to Penn State, and then you see what happened to some of these other schools like Kansas State. It didn't end up being as stacked as people were hoping it would be. But we still have some good games on the slate. Putting it out there right now, guys, Tulane at UTSA has technically started. It's 13-20 left to go in the first quarter here, a scoreless contest. But we are going to be picking this game. Tulane closed at 5.5-point favorites on the road at UT San Antonio. Mike, you and I talked with Coach Summerall on Tuesday about this Tulane Tuesday segment. 23 straight home conference wins for UTSA. They got that stud running back as well. Bobby's got Tulane minus 5.5. I will ultimately agree with them. Guys, you talked about it earlier in the show. We just feel like Coach Summerall's got this team locked in. Give me the wave to roll and pick up a nice win on the road.
Until I heard him talk Tuesday, I would have picked UTSA. But then when I heard him talk, I told Steve, I changed my mind. Tulane.
That home record for UTSA, you talked about it earlier, the Alamo Dome is ridiculous. But I can't go against Coach Summerall, man. I'm rolling with the wave too, guys. It's clean sweep. Yeah.
Then we have my least favorite game of the week. I talked to you all about this off air. I hate this game. Number 9 Vanderbilt at number 20 Texas in the biggest sucker line of the entire weekend. UT minus 3.5 after that performance that they had at Mississippi State. But they did escape. And that's what it comes down to. They are favorites at home against a Vanderbilt team that is red hot. Bobby's got Vandy plus 3.5. If this was 2.5, I might take Texas. But it's 3.5. I have a field goal to work with. Give me Vandy, and I feel terrible about it.
Vandy for me. Man, Texas has been lucky. The Kentucky game, Mississippi State game, and you know what? Vandy got no fear of them. None. And that team, they think they better than us. Oh, they might have better, you know, they got 4 and 5-star guys, but they ain't better than us, and they got probably a quarterback.
Right. That to me is kind of the tilt. They got a quarterback that's making a ton of plays, and Arch is really struggling at this stage.
Sweep again on this one, guys. I'm going with Vandy, too. Just they've been so impressive, especially what we just recently saw, what they did against the LSU Tigers. And you mentioned, Mike, with Pavia, he's been unbelievable.
The best improvisational guy I've seen in college football since Johnny Manziel.
Wow.
Because Johnny could do that.
Yeah.
You know, you scripted the play one way, and yet, you know, I'm going to do something else.
Guys, it's just the weirdest line of the week. I don't understand why Texas is favored in this game. Like you said, Mike, they've been skating by, but maybe Vegas knows something that we don't. And another thing is, I think Arch Manning's questionable for this game. He's been in concussion protocol, so we'll see if he actually goes this weekend. But clean sweep for Vanderbilt, so go Commodores. Up next, guys, we have the other top 20 matchup in the SEC. Number 18, Oklahoma at number 14, Tennessee. Tennessee 3.5-point favorites. Bobby's got Tennessee at home. I got Tennessee at home. Listen, guys. OU really let me down this past weekend. That was Lane Kiffin's first, I think, top 25 win on the road as a head coach last week. So it just feels like OU's reeling a little bit, and they have to go on the road to Tennessee with a really great offense. I know Tennessee's defense is suspect, but give me the Volunteers to win and cover.
I'm going with the Vols, too, here just because Oklahoma's burned me too many times.
Right.
So no, I'm taking Tennessee.
Man, I think something – physically, Mateer's not the same guy.
Right. Agreed.
So you can see the injury has taken a little bit away from him. I'm going to go with Tennessee here at home. Tennessee's offense is very good. Their defense is very bad. I mean, they're not a really good defense, but I thought what we saw last week may have taken a chunk out of OU. What Ole Miss did to them on their home turf, so to speak. And I know it's early, but the opening drive, Tulane goes all the way down and score a touchdown.
Woo-hoo!
They go for two, and they miss. So it's 6-0 with about 11 and a half minutes left.
They're already covering for us.
Yeah. Knock on wood, Steve. Knock on wood.
Stop it right there.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get into NFL picks. And, Charlie, I don't know, this might be the first time ever that's been a clean sweep in our college football selection.
Three clean sweeps, guys. We'll get into the NFL after this.
Well, that won't last in the football, pro football one.
Taking the break, we shall return with weekend kickoff at the Treasure Chest Casino. Coming back after the break. Back here at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill, we got the TV screens going, enjoying the Green Wave in action right now against UTSA. The Roadrunners going down the field. Got a touchdown, made their extra point.
Yeah, McCown to Amador, so it's 7-6 UTSA.
Steve, you spoke too quick.
I know. I got over
anxious. Yeah, the way this game's being played, you better almost take that over and fast.
Yeah, I wish Charlie. We could play the overs instead of just the spreads, guys, sometimes. But, guys, we're going to hop into NFL Week 9's matchups. This, once again, wasn't a great slate, but we're going to start off with a fun AFC game at least. The Colts, 3.5-point favorites on the road against the Steelers. I went against the Steelers last week, and it worked for me with the Packers. The Colts' offense is just rolling, guys, and I just don't think that the Steelers' defense has some question marks, especially when they play those upper echelon offenses. So give me the Colts covering this number on the road. That's, I know, a little bit added kind of toughness playing in Pittsburgh. Bobby's also got the Colts covering 3.5.
I got the Colts, too. Last week was a bit of a mirage. The Packers, as I've always said, they play with your food type team. They remind me of my little granddaughter. Play with that food for a half. In the second half, though, it was both spoonfuls to the mouth. And Pittsburgh had no response to it, so I'm going to go Colts here.
Pretty boring, guys. I'm with Indianapolis, too. Man, the, you know, Daniel Jones hype, everybody in the start of the season was all talking about how impressive he looked, and I was waiting for the drop-off to happen, and it hasn't. He's still in the talks of MVP candidate.
No, Jonathan Taylor's the real MVP.
Stunned.
Man, but they're not going to give it to a running back, will they?
I know they won't, but, man, that guy can play.
Unbelievable. Yeah, fantasy football stood.
Oh,
but, yeah, I'm rolling with the Colts, too, guys. So another sweep.
I think I'm going to get some in fantasy this week, so I'm a little bit nervous about that one, guys. Up next, we got the Saints at the Rams Sunday afternoon. This line was kind of weird because it started out at 13.5. The news about Tyler Shuck comes out, being named the starter for this game, his first NFL start against an elite NFC opponent, and the Rams are coming off a bye. And that line went from 13.5 to now 14.5 right now, guys. Bobby's got the Saints covering the 2-touchdown spread. I got the Rams covering minus 14.5. I just think that this is a blowout. The Rams are elite. I think this is maybe the toughest team they play all year. You can make the argument for the Bills, but the Rams are just awesome on both sides of the ball.
Rams, best team the Saints have played all year.
There
long.
You go.
as much as this number is, you know, stands out to you and looks like, man, that's a lot, that's a big number. You look at this Saints team right now, guys. We've seen them. They can't get the ball rolling into the end zone.
Tell me one thing on offense they do good.
Exactly.
One.
The rookie, Tyler Shuck. He's going to be on the road in this matchup against a ferocious defense. They don't give up a lot of points. They're second in the league in sacks. They doesn't have the starting all-pro center, maybe
you
the best player on
right
the team.
There. Yes, Steve.
Yeah, I'm rolling with the Rams here, so Bobby's the only one going black and gold.
So this is our first non-sweep. Congratulations to Bobby for taking the Saints. We hope it works out for you. Obviously, we don't want to see the Saints get blown out. It's just kind of what we're projecting. Up next, guys, we have a real fun matchup in the AFC. This is really the highlight game of the entire weekend. The Chiefs 2.5-point favorites on the road against the Bills. Bobby's got the Chiefs covering the 2.5 on the road. I went a little bit back and forth with this one, guys, because typically the Bills in the regular season have had the Chiefs number. It's been the postseason where Pat Mahomes gets the better of Josh Allen. Give me the Chiefs, though. I just watch how they've been playing recently. They've been killing teams since Rashee Rice got back. I think that offense has been rolling. They still don't have a running game, but you don't really need one when you got Pat Mahomes. Give me the Chiefs minus 2.5.
Their running game might show up.
Against that Bills defense?
The Bills are bad against the run. No, Chiefs here for me.
This is a boring week, guys, except for that last game, because I'm rolling with the Chiefs, too. They look like they are, you know, they got the motions going. Everyone's talking about them. Oh, you know, after that rough start, being a Super Bowl favorite, the comes down to, for me, that the KC defense impresses me a lot more than what Buffalo's putting out there. So give me the Chiefs.
I don't see nothing with the Bills on defense.
No, not at all.
No, they tsunami you on offense because they are really good on offense.
And then with Rice back for the Chiefs, it just, you know, that weapon, man, that kind of completes them right now. Yeah. Charlie, so our only difference is Bobby taking the Saints this week.
Six complete sweeps for the three of us. And the only pick different is Bobby taking the Saints to cover 14.5.
How shocking.
Well, we'll see what happens there, because there's not going to be a very big change in the standings this week.
No, not much.
No.
Taking a break here on Weekend Kickoff at the Treasure Chest Casino. We're going to wrap things up when we get back after the break, right after this on WWL, folks. Back here at the Treasure Chest Casino, wrapping up our Weekend Kickoff edition of Sports Talk. Tulane trailing now, UTSA 7-6, and the Roadrunners threatening here in the red zone right now.
And hold on to the ball. Come on, guys.
Yeah, they forced a turnover. You said the helmet just came right in and jogged the ball out.
Yeah, good defensive play. He sort of popped ball out with helmet. Now it looks as though Tulane has made a stand, and they'll UTSA is going to go for a field goal here, but Tulane's defense better straighten up and fast if they're planning on winning this game. And come on, you can't help them. You can't turn the ball over.
WWL also your home for NFL football. We got Thursday night matchup, Miami hosting Baltimore, coming up 7 p.m. right here, WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Kickoff at 7:30. Me and Charlie Long will be back at it tomorrow for a special edition of Sports Talk as Mike Hawes, Deuce McAllister traveling with the team out to L.A. ahead of Week 9 Saints-Rams.
You're not going with him?
No, I'll be in studio with Charlie Long. Have a good night, everyone. Who dat?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.